Hello and welcome to episode 216 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex Newell. With me today I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith,
Hamid Salah Harun Al Tahan,
Sel Sidebottom,
and Azu, but large!
Big Azu! Big Azu!
Big you, need to start, you need to be saying things. I'm going to get you.
I don't know if I can get. What's the lowest I can go?
Azu!
Incredible work.
Okay. As a brief recap, again, you're drawing near the point where I am going to say you should have listened to earlier. Mm. We're at the top of Elizabeth Tower, which is where Big Ben is, fighting a dragon pretty damn successfully, given that it should have killed you all by now,
yeah.
With an enormous horde of unspeakable monstrosities now scaling the tower. And you're now on a timer where at the end of it, you either save the world or everyone dies.
Yep.
Whee! Mm-hmm.
Hooray!
Whee!
The stakes are pretty high.
The stakes are quite high, that is true.
Mm.
With that in mind, we are actually still in initiative. Guive has succeeded in not killing Hamid, which is frankly distressing, but here we are.
Hamid flew through the fire.
I at least got the Buffy song
Me too.
Beginning
Me too.
In my head at that point, and I could see in Bryn's face. I was like, I could see it going through your head.
Yeah, it's there, just playing on the inside of my eyeballs.
Sel,
yep.
It is your turn. There are three within range of you that are currently not on the map, basically due to like verticality, but I'm going to add them sort of slightly off the tower just so that you can keep tabs on what actually is alive, okay?
Mm-hmm. I think that Zolf and Azu can handle the ones on the tower, so I will sort these out, and then next round I will fly off to help with the other ones. So, bomb number one. That is 26.
26, that's a hit.
Cool. And 36 damage.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah, okay.
That was a nice roll.
Looks severely messed up, but still alive. Well, alive's a strong word.
Speaking of which, the one last turn that survived, just about, will have had another 14
went,
damage.
Yeah, it went full-blown whack-a-mole. There's a reason it's not on the map.
Right, cool.
I'm gonna... Oh, no, I feel bad.
Okay.
And 14 splash damage to the other two.
Oh, are these ones close to each other?
So there is a 5-foot space between them.
Then no, it's not going to hit them. It's when they're directly next to. But each of these, like I will have known that that is a good enough hit that they will die from the sticky next turn.
You would just know that, yeah.
Yeah. So then I'm going to roll for the next one. That is a miss because I rolled a 2, so that is 14.
Nope. Off into the distance.
Ooh, this one, I rolled 18, then plus 12, so that is 30.
That's a good hit.
Cool. Let's roll the 72. That's 33. Oh, natural 20.
Nice.
That might be a hit, by which I mean it's a crit. Oh no, roll to confirm. Apologies.
Yeah, no fun is allowed. 11.
No fun is allowed. No, it's just a really good hit.
So, cool.
No fun that's... for you, only pain.
And the 7d8s have given me 35.
You have rolled really good on the damage on those three.
On those ones, yeah, yeah. And so all of them will be getting then 14 at the beginning of my next turn.
Understood.
Cool. Well, I just, you know, I have fixed one face. Now, like, next turn, I have to move to the next face of the
I
top.
Just love stylistically how they all are going to make it to the top and then go...
Yeah.
In which case, then, Hamid, you are up. You've just been fire breath to the face and you're feeling good. Feeling punchy.
Hamid's going to use his standard action this time to cast Resist Energy. So that when the protection from energy is all used up, he's still got lots of defences against fire.
Understood. Are you doing any elaborate flight work?
The move action is very much the elaborate flight work again. I want to be as annoying as possible to Guive. I want Guive focused on me. I want her angry, and I want her really desperate to kill me. That's the goal here.
Break out your flight dice, please, and give me a good opposed roll.
Oh. 18 total.
Oh.
What's your flight quality?
Average.
Then congratulations. even with that poor roll. She's an angry 747.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, you're... Oh, just, God, why am I built to eat things that are too big to exist? Yeah, you're doing laps, you're doing loops. It's a whole problem. This is watching a bodybuilder try and deal with a mosquito is what this is. In which case then, you hear a voice, Zolf and Azu.
Oh,
between the two of you. It's Wild.
I'm back. Okay.
Because Wild is still invisible.
Yes.
That one of yours.
Yep. The first one is. I don't know. I'm really hoping the second one isn't.
Second one?
I'll point up office. Oh, wait, I'm invisible too. It doesn't matter.
What a comedy of errors.
Yeah.
In which case, then, the swarm layer of the creatures is drawing much closer now up the tower, where it's going to go from, oh, we're not dealing with 3, we're dealing with 30, we're dealing with 50 kind of things. But they're not quite there yet. However, as they are doing so, you're not able to see the doors, obviously, from where you are because of the angles involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you hear a massive commotion coming from the abbey.
Ooh.
And there aren't the sounds of, like, pitched cries, but there are certainly eldritch cries. They're distant and they're coming sort of from the abbey, but there's a certain sort of spiralling cloud above the abbey that seems to be kicking off. And
I have a very different vantage point to the rest of the party. Can I see what's going on?
Let me check my angles via satellite.
I mean, I feel like I'm just in the air high up above Parliament Square at this point, given that I've moved in all directions.
Because I want you to be able to see, you can.
Excellent.
Effectively, an army of the dead is sweeping out of the abbey and ploughing into all of the creatures that are near the entrance.
Cool. They're on our side.
Jeff came good.
Hell yeah.
Good old Jeff.
And yeah, they are definitely occupied as things mostly sweep across them. A lot of frozen bodies. Bodies. But again, these are tiny little ants, but it's more activity. So you've now got the stuff going over at the one that got away. You've got the stuff going over at the abbey. And we have, hopefully, Apophis coming down from the sky. We'll find out. Oh, I forgot one important thing. Wild is going to be singing.
What's he singing?
So it's the same song as you were hearing in the Garden of Yarlik. So technically, the entire thing is a +1 morale bonus for saving throws against charm and fear, mm-hmm. and then a +1 competence on attack and weapon damage rolls. A plus three for those, not a +1, sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
+3 competence for what, sorry?
I don't think it'll affect you. I think it'll be
okay.
Far
That's
away,
cool.
So.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think you need to be just slightly closer.
Okay.
In which case, yeah, so you guys are getting an extra chunk there as well.
Cool.
I forgot to retcon that one, apologies. But yeah, Azu, you are up with that extra bonus in play.
I am tempted to take Bryn's advice and just wait a little bit because none of these things are close enough yet that my magic area of effect is going to do anything. Because I'd like to cast prayer again, so that which is a 40-foot burst.
Yeah, they're a bit far, yeah.
Let them come. Hold the line.
Yeah, because you can again, like, ready
You've
in action.
You've got a 10-foot-wide bridge. That's all you need to defend. Is that 10-foot-wide walkway?
Yes, exactly. I'll just gut them when they come along the walkway.
Would you like a pithy one-liner that equates to hold the line, wait till you see the whites of their eyes, while they don't have eyes, wait till you see the pink of their flowers, whatever you want.
Wait till you see the blue of their veins.
Oh, good line.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to hold my action. When each of these things are, let's say, about 10 foot closer, I would like to cast prayer.
Understood. In which case then, Zolf, you are up.
Cool. I cast Searing Light on the one on my side, which is further away.
Yep.
Is it undead?
It has multiple templates, of which one of them is undead.
Is it sensitive to bright light?
That's a good question. Let me check. No, it's not.
In which case, I mutter, "This place isn't for you," and hold out my hand, and a bright white ray fires out of it and blasts into the thing, dealing 10d6 damage.
Nice.
That's a solid roll.
39.
Yeah.
So, you pour damage into it and hunks of it just chuck out into space. Technically, it's still moving.
So, Lid, you were estimating it's 40 or 41 hit points.
But yeah, this thing is on its absolute last legs, but it is still
moving.
Wait,
that was a damage effect? Did you apply Wild's competence bonus?
Oh, you're joking? Yes, 40. 40 damage.
Oh, there you go. Plus three, so it went from 39 to 42,
yeah.
42, I think.
42, yeah. 42.
Yeah. Obliterated.
Good stuff.
This is why I keep layering you up and see what bonuses we remember.
And I will take a 5-foot step out into the gantry just to give myself a little more room between me and Babbage so that, you know, he's less threatened.
Understood. Can I please get a perception check from both of you?
17.
Oh, dear. 13.
Nailed it.
I think 17 would probably hit it, but 13 won't.
Okay.
You can smell smoke coming from beneath you.
Uh-oh.
Cool. Good stuff.
In which case, then, our friends move. So let's do a quick check on these bad boys.
Ooh, they can move fast.
Oh, dear.
Attack of opportunity?
Yeah, I've got reach now.
You have reach.
Yeah.
This will trigger an attack of opportunity, yes, for Azu.
Okay. Oh, crikey. All right, let's do a roll with all of these.
Maths!
It's a single d20 plus 21. I don't know what you're complaining about. It's simple.
Okay.
Natural 20? Or a natural 1?
Natural 1.
Natural 1.
Natural 20. Oh, no, I thought she was butting up. So natural 10.
Although, you know, fumbles are house rule. They don't actually exist, so it could be 22.
Yeah,
that's a natural 1, yes.
Okay, in which case then, that is not a hit. Can I get you to roll a d20, please, and don't hit a 1?
It's just to not, like, chop myself in half.
Spin round too far and chop Babbage off.
Helen's face.
I genuinely wasn't sure if the camera had frozen.
That one was a 5.
Okay, yeah, you don't drop your axe or anything elaborate. You just muck it up furiously.
Oh, but it's in my face. It's not fair, Alex. It's not fair.
I know. If it's any consolation, you're going to get plenty of time to hit things before you go down.
Also, you did ready in action, right? So your prayer will go off.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Prayer goes off. There's no saving throws for this, but there is spell resistance if that matters.
It does not for these.
Okay, so Zolf. Okay, more maths for you, Ben.
Yeah.
You now have plus 1. Oh, and me.
And Wild and Babbage. And Topaz, who is still there.
Oh, God.
What kind of bonus is this, Helen?
Luck. I don't think we've got one of those yet.
I don't think I have a luck one yet. No, I don't. Right. Another.
Gotta catch them all. Circumstantial bonuses.
So a luck bonus of plus 1, 2.
Attack rolls. Weapon damage rolls. Saves. Skill checks.
I love this game. I love it so much.
Alex, all of our opponents within 40 feet, which is, you know, all of them. So they'll all get minus 1 to that.
In which case then, understood. Thank you for that, Helen. Zolf, you can take an attack of opportunity because the other one's coming the other way for you.
Yes, indeed. Right. Oh, God, I just calculate my bonus.
Yeah, I'm going to say that I missed because I was not used to being so large.
Oh.
Plus 8. 24.
24, I think, is a hit.
Yeah. Blooming hope so. And then...
Yeah, it is. It's a hit.
So that is... Oh, my God. 13 normal damage. And an additional 6 fire damage.
6 of it was fire. I'll just check one thing then.
Oh, because they're plants, yeah, maybe.
Nah. I thought I'd check, but nah. I'm too smart for that. However, this bad boy down to the south who hasn't... So to be clear, there's now one of these root guardians on each of the walkways into the central space. One of them is still stood to the south of the group and is not on the main stair. It suddenly plunges its hands into the ground... And then some blue light starts rocketing up it in pulses, you know, vroom, 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 and sort of accelerating.
Don't like that.
Nope, not pro.
And then a bolt of lightning shoots down seemingly from nowhere in the sky and hits Azu.
No, okay. Not good.
Give me a reflex save.
16.
16, okay.
Oh, 17.
Yeah, that's high enough. That's high enough. Okay, so you're taking half on this.
Okay.
You take 4 damage.
Yeah.
Brilliant. However, a bunch more make the top of the parapet.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
It's cool. They're just lining up to die, you guys. They're just lining up to die.
Oof, there's a lot.
That's a lot.
Okay,
a further 7 pop up around the parapets, all on the sides that Cell has not covered. The 3 that Cell has hit climb up to the top. And the thing is, every single one of them will make the top and then it's just fabulous.
Just the way the numbers work.
What I'm hearing is we need more cells. One cell on each side, please. Yeah.
Now, the large Apophis appearing thing has continued to plummet from the sky, moving way faster than it has any right to. Admittedly, the cloud cover in London is a lot lower than it should be. It's still mostly smog, even with since the change, etc. But nonetheless, rocketing in. At the very last second, seemingly, it swerves suddenly out the way so it isn't plowing into Guive, revealing the vengeance behind it in a true suicide dive.
No!
You can see all of the crew members are jumping from the side of the vessel as it falls and opening chutes as they do. But the Vengeance itself is ploughing due Guive and...
Oh, Amelia.
Oh, it's a good hit. It's a really good hit. I'm not going to roll out all the damage this second, but... basically impales Guive and destroys itself upon her.
Wow.
She never sees it coming, but it drives Guive down into the city and crushes her against the earth as what is left of the ship just obliterates itself upon her.
Oh, it was so spiky as well.
It was very
so spiky.
And we'll take a break there. And welcome back. So, we have a heavily impaled Guive currently eating dirt. Right in front of Hamid, I might add. Like, this is like crunch right in front of Hamid. But Cell, you are up.
So, on the side of the clock tower that I can see, there are no more planty folks.
Ah, so that's an error at my part. I apologise. I will now add the ones that are now in range of you, but not at the tower's level.
Oh, so many lads.
There's so many lads.
A further four. Now, you know what? I'm going to be fair to you on this one. The three of them are bunched together.
Do I help on the other sides? No, I...
To be clear for listeners at this point, the tower is getting a little bit overwhelmed.
Yeah, we can see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 9, like, on our bit, and then an additional 4 for Cell's clock face.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter, because if Cell flies onto another face, they will only be able to do, like, one shot. So may as well do these.
Yeah.
So there are 3 in a bunch. So I will start by hitting the one in the middle. What hitting? Rolling at. That is 22.
22? Mm-hmm. It's a close miss.
Try again. Ooh, 26.
26, that's a hit.
Cool. That does 30 damage to the one in the middle and 14 to the ones on either side.
Understood.
You know what? I should have done the 2 on either side, shouldn't I? And then that would have got the one in the middle with 2 splash hits. What a fool I am!
In fairness, there is a lot going on.
Yeah, but Cell is like plus a million intelligence, you know?
Oh, is that intelligence or wisdom, though?
Not wisdom, they are not wise. Okay, then I'm going to hit one of the ones on the side, let's say the one on the left side. 11 plus 12, so that is 23.
It's a hit.
Cool.
Just.
And that does 20 damage.
Okay.
So that one is now 34. and the one in the middle gets 14 splash damage. So that one has had...
The one in the middle just dies.
Yeah.
Just and falls off.
Yeah. They've got one more bomb. Can I reach the third one on that side? It's a bit of a fudge, I think.
What's your throw distance? What's your range?
It's only 20 foot.
No.
No.
It's too far out. But it's not at the top of the tower yet.
Then I will go for the one that has already had 14 of splash damage. It is unlikely to hit because my bonus...
Give it a go.
My bonus for this is... Oh, natural 20, so 27.
Ooh. Rolls confirm.
I mean, it's probably going to pop either
way. No, 7.
It's still a hit. Give me the damage.
Yep, and the damage was 20. So they've now had 34 and they will expect another 14.
Oh, I do like it when your maths is easy. I've got two people with 34 kicking around.
Yeah.
They're also going to poke their head up and go, hello.
You are doing work on that side.
Yeah,
but nearly out of bombs, so we'll have to switch tactics soon.
In which case, anything further from Sel?
Well, that is a full attack action, so
I'd be surprised.
Kind of all.
I mean, you could maybe yell "have at you" or something.
No, they are focused.
In which case, then, Hamid, you are up.
Okay, so Hamid doesn't have time to take in what's just happened. He doesn't have time to call out to the newly arrived friends, the crew of the Vengeance, who he presumes are the people he knows. He takes another standard fly action of 90 foot. He is going to be heading towards the tower now in a straight line, but not completely straight, because he's also rising, because he wants a good vantage point. Because the range of the spell Fireball is 840 foot.
It is quite big, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Pretty big. And by my reckoning, if he has line of sight, he can hit the southwest corner of the tower and catch four things in a fireball simultaneously. Possibly five. Because he could possibly hit the one next to Zolf, too.
I think you could hit the one next to Zolf. What's the range? The width?
It's a 20 radius.
No, you won't. But you'll hit all the rest.
So, Hamid is closer to the tower, but he started 200 feet away, and he's moved 90, but not all of it was directly towards the tower. But that doesn't matter, because a fireball travels much faster than he does.
It's true.
Explodes.
That is how they work.
On the southwest corner.
And doesn't even need to aim, which is distressing.
Beautiful, isn't it?
I assume we're not maximising given
anything. We have not maximised this fireball.
Understood.
Well, that was a very poor roll for fireball damage.
For fireball. It's like, oh no, it's only 60.
40 damage.
Oh no, how small.
40 damage.
Yeah. That's them on the nose, I think.
Reflex save for half.
Oh, reflex for half. Fair. Because they are mooks, we'll do the standard thing we do, which is that I roll for all of them at once, because I'm a lazy, lazy boy. What was the DC?
18.
Character sheets work? Yeah, nah. The tower gives an ever so slightly ominous groan, and the platform that Azu and Zolf are on gives an especially ominous groan. However, nothing collapses, and you clear that entire corner. Good job. Anything else you would like to do beyond rocket around like a tactical nuke?
I've taken my move action, I've taken my standard action.
Understood. In which case then, Wild continues to sing, because it's the best thing Wild can be doing for you all right now. Azu, you were up. Give me a perception check, please.
25.
You now recognise that there is a fire underneath you. The gears and the mechanisms of the clock are grinding and they seem to be catching a flame underneath you.
As it says, Zolf, we're on fire.
All right.
You can now continue to take your turn as was, but that is an important piece of information contextually that you would now know.
Very important. Okay.
Actually, I'll give you one extra thing. You can see there's a bunch of these things down there in amongst the sort of clock mechanism and so on, and they're not having a good time of it.
Mm. Are they getting ground into a nasty paste?
The clock mechanism is not really turning anymore. It looks like something's jammed it all up, but they are very much on fire.
I wonder if it was the marbles. Alex, how dare you? How dare you?
It's stopping them coming up from underneath you. Which is a good job. Doing really well. You got a bunch of creatures on fire and they can't get out the door at the top. So I think that's very generous.
Well, I rolled 39 to hit the one in front of me.
Yes!
So there.
Good grief.
Good. Take
the
out
fact that you
that.
Say I rolled a 39, was it a crit? No, of course not.
No, it was a 17.
Yeah, it's a strong hit. Eviscerate the thing, explode it into a billion pieces.
Okay, here goes first damage roll. That's 25 on the first hit.
Nice.
I'm going to hit the thing again.
Probably. Statistically, yes.
Oh, yes, I have to roll to hit it. Sorry, I was assuming that. that's only 27 to hit.
It's a hit.
We've established consistently that 24 hits and 22 doesn't. We don't know about 23.
But one can make some guesses. And that is a... not so good. So that's then another 17 damage to the thing in front of me.
Oh, I think the damage is higher. I don't think you've added wild bonuses.
You're right. That's another 20 damage and then 28 from before.
Regardless, the thing's very dead. With or without the bonuses, it's extremely cleaved. It's less like felling a tree than picking up a weed. It's horrendous and vicious. And yeah, you eviscerate this thing, and it just the pieces of it fall down and fuel the flames beneath you as the walkway continues to grow.
Mm-mm. No, I'm going to stay where I am.
Okay, in which case then, Zolf, you are up.
So, I still have the headphones on.
Yes. You're doing cool guy headphones.
Yes. Is Babbage, like, is he talking through? Is he conscious? Is he doing, like, a weird brain meld mumble? I don't know.
So, have you ever heard a number station?
Yes.
16, 15, 3,
okay.
2. But that has been accelerating till it's like 3, 2, 9, 8, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, and he's just running quicker and quicker and quicker.
In which case, I'm not going to interrupt him. However, if I'm recalling from when he was telling me to set him up, I know he has to be connected to the antenna, but can he be moved?
Yes.
Fine. In which case, I will move away. I will take the attack of opportunity.
It will take the attack of opportunity. Not a terrible roll. 27.
Oh, so, I mean, that's probably a hit, but actually, I've got so many blooming bonuses. what's my AC?
It is quadratics.
Yeah.
You don't want this to hit you.
Well, it might do, so whatever. Take that. Yeah, it hits me. Yeah, it hits me.
Okay, cool.
My AC is 23.
So it deals 4 damage as it sort of slashes into you. Not much, not too bad. Give me a DC 20 fort save, please.
Oh, no. Oh, I got 30.
30. Okay, cool. So what proceeds to happen is it slashes at you and it slashes into your metallic leg.
Sure.
And it grates across it. And as you see it slashing, you can see it's leaving a spore trail as it does so.
Yeah.
The spores land upon the metalwork and so on, and immediately begin to sort of propagate out into a vine structure, limited to the foot where it can't seem to gain any purchase.
Good stuff. Now here's a question, Alex, that I've never asked before. Can I jettison the leg?
You can. And
as
in terms
what sort of,
action? So in terms of that, normally I would say that for standard magical prosthesis, it can be like standard and blah, blah, blah. I'm fine for you to do it as part of a move action because we've established these are super high-end stuff.
And also, here's a question. Do the boots only function as a pair?
Yes.
Then I keep...
I'm afraid so, yes.
I keep the leg. But I say to Azu, the reason that I took a normal move action is I say to Azu, I'm going up, make yourself scarce, and I grab... the tripod and Babbage and float 35 foot into the air.
Good shout.
Very good.
Good shout.
I can't believe that hadn't occurred to me as a thing you could do.
In which case then, is that your turn?
Yeah, I used all of it on that one.
Understood. So, a few more friends make it to the top of the tower.
Oh, I guess actually, sorry, a quick question. I said I used all of that. Would grabbing Babbage be a standard action?
So at the moment, all you've used is a move action plus grabbing Babbage, right?
Yeah, the bulk of it was being hit.
I'm going to say it'd have to be a standard action because you're picking up the antenna in one hand, the equipment in the other, and you've got cables.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be too faffy.
Completely reasonable. I'm going to be trying to put Babbage on my back again so I've got a free hand.
You should be able to, but you're not able to currently because you're holding a glaive and the antenna and the thing. I'm going to allow you to pick stuff up.
I dropped the glaive.
Oh, you dropped the glaive?
I dropped the glaive.
Cool. In which case, you'll be able to put it on your back and you're not going to take penalties, but it is a standard action to pick him up.
Okay, and also I think for flavour and because it's got a beautiful symmetry, I imagine I drop the glaive and it bounces and drops into the flaming clock tower.
Oh, of course it does.
Yeah.
Of course it does. I mean...
There goes another weapon. I've just got to get rid of my armour and we're back to where I'm comfortable. Alex, does spell resistance apply to that spore effect?
No.
Okay, fine. Need to check.
Keep trying. Keep trying.
Eventually,
keep layering those stuff on. So, a bunch more of our friends make it up to the rooftop on the sides that Cell isn't single-handedly keeping clear, because of those, two of those go... One of them finally manages to make it up to the tower. Of the remainder, another one charges towards Azu, provoking an attack of opportunity. It's a fresh round, so you can take it.
That is 33 to hit.
Hit.
And 17 damage.
Understood.
Can I hit it again?
No.
Okay.
Unless you have something very elaborate and special that I'm not aware of.
No.
At which point, one of them has run up to basically face off against Azu. Another one is going to take a running leap and try to cover the distance.
Oh my god.
And manages, landing on the thing. The entire platform gives a very ominous under the additional weight.
Christ.
Another one pushes forwards to hit Azu on the far side, so Azu is now surrounded. And the one more of them... We're getting there, I promise. Another one tries to take a running leap onto the platform, fails, leaps, and then just drops down into the space below.
Womp womp.
And then a final one.
So I think we've forgotten one element that's on this platform. So Wild is there and invisible, but I'm sure he can take care of himself. But Topaz is also here.
Ah, fair point.
Yeah, Topaz is also large.
So what we're going to do is, in which case, you are correct, though the last one takes a running leap, succeeds, and now Azu is effectively surrounded on all sides on the ominous platform, which gives another very ominous creak.
I have to get off this thing.
I am aware that Topaz and Wild are both capable of flight, so it's not like they're putting any weight on it. But you are now surrounded on all sides, Azu, although you are beside Topaz, who's got your back. In which case, then, our Apophis, who we've yet to decide whether is real or not, certainly seems to be real, as he falls upon Guive and begins savaging her while she's down on the ground with a wild abandon. They properly tear into one another and start trashing themselves around in the city, destroying buildings as they do so. It looks very much like Apophis is working to keep Guive occupied. It's less super intelligent magical beings than a big dragony brawl. And it looks for a while like certainly Apophis has the upper hand, as Guive definitely is injured by the Vengeance. Hard to tell how far, but it's still stuck in her. So there's a sign. Cell, you are up.
I think it makes most sense to leave the one that is on this edge and position myself 60 feet on, like, the opposite corner, that kind of southwest thing, so that I can do one attack and then we'll probably be able to do four next turn.
Sounds good to me.
So I want to move 60 foot and be flying. The problem is that all my bombs do splash damage, so I can't actually hit the ones that are near Azu, because they will all also damage Azu.
I think it would still be worth it. Like, Azu can take 14 splash damage, and being surrounded by these things that might blue vein her is terrifying.
Okay, in which case, yeah, Cell's going to move there, and that means they can only do one attack, I think. So I'm just going to throw one defoliant bomb at... Okay, I'm going to attack the one that's on to the east of Azu, because while the splash damage will hit Azu, it should also hit the two plants on either side.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
That's okay.
So you will be taking 14 splash from me hitting these things.
I can handle it, Lid, I promise.
Okay.
So, give us the roll. That?
Yep. Ooh, natural 20.
Roll to confirm?
No, that's a 5. So
okay, no.
I haven't even ever confirmed.
I don't think you need to.
I don't see the point. Okay, ooh, that's a nice one. 35 damage to my main boy.
He explodes into pieces.
Oh, cool. And then 14 damage to North Boy and South Boy and Azu in the middle.
Understood.
Sorry about the splash damage. In fact, Cell yells, sorry about the splash damage!
Azu booms.
It's all right.
I'm so big.
I'm a hefty girl.
Anything else, Cell?
No, I've moved and I've bombed. That is what makes Cell happy.
Hamid, you are up.
Okay, I don't think Topaz has taken an attack yet. So Topaz can fly and is still invisible, probably.
Yes.
But Hamid can see...
Yes to both, because the last thing I told Topaz to do was to guard Babbage. Babbage is now taken, so Topaz is sort of in autopilot, which is keeping herself safe, I would think.
Yeah. Hamid can now see Azu alone on the metal griddle, surrounded by an increasing number of plant monsters, and he's not losing her.
Aww.
Just, no, not happening.
Yeah, I will say that I probably can't get back on Topaz and fly around because I'm so
you
massive.
You can see Cell there helping because Cell's been attacking, so Cell is blowing stuff up.
Yeah,
but obviously you couldn't see most of it because that was on the opposite side of the tower, so it seems like Cell has just been sodding off somewhere and has only just now turned up. What a lazy Cell.
Almost every turn that Hamid has been flying around, he's been gaining height, so he has a bit of height to spare. So he's gonna tuck his wings in and angle himself and dive towards the top of the tower and just get as much speed as he possibly can. Now, mechanically, I think that's still only 180 foot, but I just think the flavour is important that he is ignoring everything except speed. And if I've correctly tracked his decision, his position, then 180 foot should get him more or less wherever he wants on the battle map.
More or less, actually, yeah. From the angle you're coming in, you're not going to be able to get to the northwest corner, like cool. Beyond the scale of the tower, but that's about it. On the actual tower, yeah, you should be fine.
Cool. Hamid screeches to a halt 10 foot in the air on the other side of the walkway from Azu, ready... No, actually, he's going to be directly above. 10 foot above Azu, 5 foot to the side, ready to help her out next round.
Hello!
At which point, then?
I say 10 foot above. I mean 10 foot in the air, so actually his feet are at shoulder height, since she's currently 12 foot tall.
You okay?
Yeah, just going to get off this thing.
Okay, so with Hamid screeching to a halt at that point, there is the sound of something teleporting.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
And then what you have is just a...
Yes! I called it!
An incredibly, incredibly haggard-looking, heavily bleeding Einstein pops to the top of the tower, accompanied by a multitude of heavily armed people ready to help out.
Yay!
Specifically... Ed, Vasik, Emeka, Brutor, Barnes, Carter, and Kiko.
Whoa. You can't just throw Brutor in there and
I kid you not, a fully armed, heavily weaponized MacGuffingham Air is also in amongst that mix.
Wow.
They all pop in, all like in one corner, ready. Einstein collapses as this happens.
No!
And everyone charges.
Oh!
Within your hands, Zolf, the Babbage Ray suddenly gives a sort of electrifying shudder, and then a rippled shockwave of energy throws itself outwards from the array, and as it does so, everyone has a momentary complete case of vertigo, and the world starts to look very, very odd for a moment before returning to normal. And I'll end the episode there. Good news, bad news. I'm just going to keep doing good news, bad news all the way down. It's fine.
I guess he's gone off.
It seems a bit soon for that.
Well, they were speculating. He said, "Oh, it might be about a minute," but you know, maybe it
Maybe just be a step in the process.
Yeah. Me going higher gave him a better connection.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll have to find out next week. Ooh. But until then, enjoy the weird and enjoy the peril.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hello and welcome to... I did that at the same time as clicking the mouse. How stupid can you get? I'd like to fire me now.
No.
All right, hello and welcome to Rusty Quill Gaming.
You've probably still got as many as 3 or 4 episodes to start getting it right, Alex.
Yeah.
I might come up with an out on the final episode.
Motherfucker.